When I was 35 years old and Doss Trotman suddenly left us, the Lord took him home, I didn't realize that rather than being the boss, I would have more bosses than I ever had in my life. Also, I didn't realize that I could do less by myself than I ever could in my life. And that's increasingly so. I am frustrated and helpless when I don't have somebody. I can't do anything without myself. And obviously, like a man without a man like Donald. And the Lord has, through the years, given me some tremendous co-laborers. And I'm so grateful for Donald McGilchrist and for those who God used to raise him up, like George Sanchez, Ed Rice, and then Doug, who invited him to the work. And now I'm benefiting. For a number of years, I have said that Jim Downing, whom many of you know, has saved my life. He's been my deputy and my assistant for years. But this last year, Jim turned 65. So what do we do with old navigators? We send them in the mission field. So he and Marina have become missionaries at age 65. Marina's a little younger. And they are now living in London, England, where for the three-year period he is responsible for the work in Europe, Middle East, and Africa. But it wrenched my right arm. So in the meantime, Doug Sparks, who left that work and is going to take over in Asia this summer, has been my deputy. Well, as I've been praying about it and all, who that might be to take that place, in a very, very unique way through the years, the Lord has been preparing Leroy Imes for this. So I talked with him about it and asked Leroy and Virginia to pray about it. And we're very, very excited that as of May 1st, Leroy will be my, for want of a better term, deputy president, which means he'll help me in the full range of my responsibilities. And between Donald and Leroy and myself, Donald will tend mainly to the internal affairs of the navigators, and Leroy mainly to the staff, the field, and the external affairs of the navigators. So I'm, in fact, I was saying to Leroy the other day that even though that we have a date of May 1st, we're already operating on this base, though he's committed to the U.S. work till August 31st to help them in various phases of the ministry that they've asked of him. Last year, he and Virginia took about a six-month trip overseas, ministering to our staff around the world, and they'd had a previous trip about an equivalent length of time. And there are many other things I could say as to the preparation for this, but I'm very, very grateful for Leroy and Donald, as well as for the rest of the staff. I had mentioned to you that one of the promises that the Lord had given Dawson was from Isaiah 43. And I tried to stay away from the book of Isaiah, lest I somehow or other, not get promises directly from God for me. But in a circuitous route, God led me to some promises, especially I mentioned when I was about 7 years after I inherited this job. And the verse I had mentioned was Isaiah 43:4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. And it goes on to say, fear not, for I am with thee. I'll bring to thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And I have written in the margin some dates and some statements of prayer on that. Well, just interesting, a little microcosm, and you can see how much this means to me. Lucy and I were driving into breakfast this morning and stopped to pick up a fellow walking up the road to find out that he is a young Japanese fellow, just got here a day or so ago, is from the Navigator Ministry in Kobe, Japan, where he had come to know the Lord. So he had remembered me from a conference that I had spoken over there. We come over here and sit down, and who serves us our breakfast but a young lady who came to know the Lord in the Navigator Ministry in Norway. You hear a excellent presentation from a man who found the Lord in the Navigator Ministry in Britain. It says, "Fear not, I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west." Well, you can't help but be a little excited about that, can you? As I reflected on this morning, and the reason for my comment earlier about don't punk out the money till you hear the session, I sometimes feel that the Great Commission will not be that much more forwarded by one more talk, especially when we have heard messages like we have heard since Howie began on Saturday night, the message we had from Leroy Imes yesterday morning. And I've wondered when we have had time to assimilate and apply what we've gotten, all the content in such a short space of time. Now, if you have your notes with you, I thought that we might just take a few moments right now and let's review just for a moment and apply. Somebody said that impression without expression might lead to depression. Well, I don't know if it's that violent. However, why don't you go back, if you have Howie's message there, and any notes, and you could write in the margin, apply this. Now, it's one thing I think I have to need to remind us, that you can't apply 20 things from one conference, maybe even 10. Two or three, if you have two or three major items that God has spoken to you about, that's probably the maximum. Now, Howie's three questions from 2 Timothy 2:15. Is the Lord well pleased? Is the work well done? Is the word well used? Do you have any specific applications for yourself? We'll give you a moment just to review your notes and make some kind of a notation if there's something that stands out to you that you ought to apply. Then if you go to Sunday morning, when Leroy spoke to us on resources for proclamation of the gospel. And this is where I got my application for the conference. I told you on the opening night that I had some needs need to be met, and one of them I got from Leroy's message on Matthew 12:1, that after Jesus had delegated to the 12 and to the 70, what did he do? He went out preaching and teaching. And that's what I want to do. And it helped me in my priorities to reaffirm some things. It was great help to me personally. But Leroy spoke about the resource of the Holy Spirit and how we were never alone. He's right there beside us when we're witnessing. The resource of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God. It's life-changing. The resource of prayer. The power of prayer as it relates to the proclamation of the gospel, to our witnessing. Perhaps we need to be more faithful in praying by name for people about whom we're concerned. Pray together as couples by name. The resource of a transformed life. The model, the life, and the testimony. and the resource of the fellowship of like-minded believers. It may be that you feel alone. You don't have the backing, the support of just a little core of like-minded people to help stimulate you and provoke you and to this kind of thing. And if that's a need, pray about it. And look around and see if God might not bring you into a little group of like-minded people. We need that support. Any specific applications you have from Leroy's talk? Then Howie, last night, he's always good, but he was terrific last night. He had that extra fizz in the coke when he opened the book of Ephesians, you know. I think that he could have gone right on until about 11 o'clock, and the time went fast. I think I could have listened. I couldn't apply it all, but I could sure listen. How to develop your walk with God. Walk worthy. That our walk might be in accord with our calling. Our conduct with our position. That was challenging, wasn't it? The whole thing was challenging. But to bring our lives more in conformity with what we profess to believe. Walk not as the Gentiles walk. If we walk according to the word, there will be a difference. There will be a difference. Any application there? Walk in love. Walk as children of light. And then walk circumspectly, like a cat picking its way between broken glass. One thing Howie and Leroy can do is illustrate their points. Now, I'm in a bit of a quandary here. I did prepare a talk, really. I prepared it once and stayed up last night and worked it over again. But now, if I let you tell what your applications are, I won't get to give my little talk. I think what I'd like us to do, I think I'd like us to stop for prayer. And individually, right now, because I don't know what's going to happen. We have lunch, you tear off to the airport, as soon as you get home, then whatever's waiting for you will wait there and the notes will be there. I wonder if we shouldn't just stop and pretend like there's nobody else in the room right now, but just you and your notes. And let's look them over and just make any specific prayer requests about any applications that you checked. And we're just going to take a few minutes for that right now. So we nail down some of those things before the Lord. And maybe you have to apologize to the Lord for something. We'll do that right now. And if there's something you want to make right, then tell him you're going to do it. If there's something you feel you need to apply, why, tell him about it right now. And we'll do that for a little bit, and then I'll just share a couple thoughts to wind up the conference. So let's have that time right now.
sense the potting of your spirit, Father, as we probably be sharing with us here evening on the necessity of doing your work well, and particularly sharing a portion of Samuel, as David said, in reference to offering up sacrifices, that he would not offer a burnt offering to you that cost him nothing. And indeed, it is easy to be involved in that which is on your heart. May this continue for us. And we're able to work in it. And it takes no personal sacrifice. And upon the, I don't know, the full extent of the things that you're prompting in your own heart. But I just pray this morning that you help me to be sensitive to that which is so in your heart. Your mind responds to it. And allowing us to make those sacrifices that otherwise I may not have considered.
We'd welcome others of you who would like to do so to lead us in prayer. If it's from your own needs that you could express and you'd like us to join you and say amen, or some application, we'd be so pleased, or some major concern, feel free to do so. I know for some it's difficult to express themselves in public, but if you want to do so, it doesn't have to be a long prayer, just a sentence or two. Why don't we pray silently by name for our spouse, husband, wife, right now? For our children, one by one? Sons and daughters-in-law, grandchildren. Let's pray for our business associates with whom we have our closest contact and will be returning to shortly. For neighbors and friends for whom we have the gnawing feeling that we do have a special responsibility, maybe haven't done what we know to do or don't know what to do, let's pray for them, just a few of them by name, and offer ourselves to the Lord to be His servants, to reach out to them. Or some friends that we know are in great need, perhaps a phone call or a letter needs to be written, or a gift taken. Perhaps there's some that whose friendship we have cultivated, but we have never gotten somehow or the round to giving a word of testimony. Or maybe they're ready to hear the gospel message with the sharing of the bridge or some means. Let's ask the Lord about that, to prompt us and to help us to articulate the gospel, show us the right time, give us the courage to do it, to go ahead of us by His Spirit and prepare heart, to sit alongside of us when we do it like He's promised. That as we think of outreach, sometimes we realize the deficiency in our own lives that looms higher when we think of this. Maybe there's something we haven't altered that we should, something we haven't made right, and it really blocks any testimony. Someone with whom to be reconciled. Let's pray about that. O Lord, Thou that hearest prayer till Thee shall all flesh come. You have heard our cry. You have heard our prayer. We surrender to You our problems, our needs, the things that seem good in our lives and the things that seem bad in our lives. And we surrender ourselves to You to use us as You see fit. All we ask is that we may sense the prompting of the Holy Spirit, that we will, in fact, live Spirit-filled, Spirit-led lives. May we be attuned and sensitive to that still, small voice and to obey that voice as He prompts us and guides us day by day. Would You deepen upon our hearts the impressions that each of us need individually, our own particular need at this time in our lives? That this could, in fact, this time make a permanent difference in some areas in our lives. And we know as we get back, things will be pretty much the same as they were when we left. May we not be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lunch is at 12. And you don't want to miss lunch. So, I'm just going to start. Maybe I'll just get through my introduction and that'll be enough. Somebody said, what does the president of the Navigators really do? Well, one thing he does, he cries a lot. No, not really. But my wife says I'm getting to be more and more of a sentimental grandfather. And I do have some reasons for this. Live long enough to see answers to prayer, fulfillment of promises, that really makes you a little teary with joy once in a while. And I want you to know I'm happy. A little tired, but not I'm happy. And also the scripture I want to share is like some scriptures that have an outstanding meaningfulness to us. And this one does to me. It's kind of like Pike's Peak in my life. Whenever we drive, my wife and I love to drive through the West. We like to take a trip. There's no phone. There's just the two of us. And it's just super. But driving home from the South, and I look the first time I see Pike's Peak. Or flying in from the East, you look out the plane window to see Pike's Peak. It's a landmark, obviously, in this part of the country for those of us who live at the foot of Pike's Peak. There is a Pike's Peak scripture in my life, and I try to live at the foot of that scripture. Now, when I was a young Christian, like so many young Christians, and I still have my first Bible, I underlined verses that were outstanding to me, and it's just one mass of underlined verses. And I don't know how many life verses I chose back there, but I took one that has stood, been gradually increased in size as a Pike's Peak in my life. Very simple, and you know the verse, most of you. It's 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Some of you know I have traveled about half the time for 25 years. Any credit for the raising of the family goes obviously to Lucy. And some of those times, especially when I was with the Graham team, would be quite extensive. 3 months at a time, be home a week, leave another 3 months. And as I said, I'm kind of a sentimental type. Well, I've been in London a couple months with the Billy Graham team, teaching counselor training classes. I was sitting in the London airport, and a little bit tired, sitting there waiting for my plane, eager to get home, and I was in one of those strange, contradictory moods. And it had been a great time, but I wasn't necessarily feeling it had been a great time. You know what I mean? Times like that. And a man walked up to me and said, "Pardon me, I'm Peter so-and-so from Scotland Yard." You know, I kind of straightened him. "Yes, sir." He said, "I was in one of your counselor training classes. In fact, I think it was Wimbledon." And he said, "I want you to know what a tremendous blessing that was to me." We talked a little bit. He said, "What flight are you leaving on?" And I told him. He said, "I have something to tend to. I'd like to come back and walk you out to the plane." So he came back and we started out to the plane. And apologetically he said to me, "I hope you forgive me in this, but I just feel like there's something I want to share with you." He said, "I suppose someone like you could use a little of a word of encouragement. And I just feel prompted to share a verse of scripture with you." He said, "It's 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And he quoted back to me a life verse of mine. Well, it's one of those times when you know in your life someone has just had the right word at the right time. How that helped me. It really helped me. Now you see, it says here on the schedule, this little talk is going on from here. I'm suggesting we go on from here with 1 Corinthians 15:58. Jake Barnett's brother-in-law, his sisters married twins, Dean and Jean Denler. One of those twins, Dean, died some years ago of cancer in Hong Kong, 32 years of age. I'll skip that one. And besides, the time is sentimental. Grandfather better remember the time. I'll go with the. Oh, I can. No, I can finish it. I get through Hong Kong every once in a while. I'm going anyway. You know that, Lucy. This is one of my goals for the year. And whoever's with me, we go out to the Happy Valley Cemetery just to look up Dean's grave. Not for a morbid reason, but because on the tombstone, they have quotations from 1 Corinthians 15, and on it is 1 Corinthians 15:58. And for me, it's one of those places, like you have in your life, maybe a park, it may be somewhere, but it's like a Bethel to me, where I just kneel down and once again rededicate myself to 1 Corinthians 15:58. Well, last year, I was thinking about all the negatives in the Navigators, all the resignations. And then I made a big mistake. I reviewed all the personnel decisions I've made in the 22 years I've been president. And I was startled how many of them came unstuck for one reason or another. And one thing I realized that what God does, he does forever, and apparently what I do doesn't last very long. Well, I suppose that the little tendency toward melancholy that I've had through the years was lessened in my older age, incidentally, thanks to our chief shrink, George Sanchez, who helped me a great deal. But it sort of, I backslid a little bit. So I have a place over here. Doss used to go up there and then off to the right. Well, I go up and turn left. I don't know if that's at all significant, the fact that I turn left. But I got my Bible. In fact, I took Dawson's Bible, and I thought, I go up there when I really need to go, get up there. I've got a certain place in the rocks. So I started up the trail, and I hadn't seen the sign that said Dawson's Trail. Well, I was in that sentimental mood I talked about, and I thought, Dawson's Trail. Well, I wonder how much I'm following in Dawson's Trail. And for the first time in years, I had just a momentary, sort of overwhelming sense of, I've missed him. And I thought, you know, I'm ready to see him. Well, in that sentimental, holy moment, the words of a Western song went through my mind. You picked a fine time to leave, Lucille. So in that spiritual moment, I paraphrased to myself, you picked a fine time to leave, D.T., and left all these problems here with me. Well, I went on up the hill and I sat down. And you know, without looking for it, the Holy Spirit prompted me again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now I'm going to skip to my conclusion. The middle we'll save for next time. There's a saying that I came across I wish were in the Bible, so I could quote a scripture reference. But it is so true, by Winston Churchill. Success is never final. Failure is never fatal. It's courage that counts. Success is never final. In the 22 years I've been president and 37 years I've been with the Navigators, there's hardly ever been a time but what we've had a major problem, at least it seemed to me, on our hands. And you just get this one cleared up and solved, and you think you're going to get a day's breather, and bang, there comes the next one. Now, I used to have a wrong attitude toward conflicts. It was, oh, no. Rather than more of James 2:4, count it all joy to see yet again what God is going to do. And George helped me change my attitude. It did change about 8 years ago when I was 50. And I'm a little more fun to live with. My wife will testify to that. Of course, it helped a lot when I resigned as manager of the universe. That took a load off my And then when I quit as director of the Lord's work worldwide, that helped. And then when I finally realized it's not my responsibility to hold the Navigator work together, but it's God's, that helped a great deal also. So now there's more of an attitude, well, let's see what God is going to do in this situation. But success is never final. There's always the next mountain to climb. And it'll be that way on down to the end. And may God help us to be like Caleb, who said, give me this mountain. And may we always be going up till finally the Lord takes us home. Failure is never fatal. Unless you step out in front of a truck, that might be. But a lot of times we thought, it's curtains, it's all over. But it wasn't. It wasn't. In fact, Romans 5 teaches us that our troubles give us experience, etc., which brings us to hope. Because you look back and you say, back there, we thought it was all over. The Navigator work in 1948 after the war was going to collapse. It was going to disintegrate, disappear. But it didn't. Oh, there was this time over here and it looked for sure like we wouldn't make it. Or maybe in your own life. But God did see you through. And then there was this one. These experiences added up give you hope. God saw us through here and here and here and here and He'll do it yet again. What are you facing when you get home? He'll see you through it. Did He before? He will again. And it's courage that counts. Courage is a mental willingness to endure. It's to hang in there. It's to stick with it. And I need that. I took 2 Timothy 1:7 from my verse for this year. You know, God hath not given us a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we need courage. And I have a title for the book of 2 Timothy. It's just simple. Hang in there. I heard it said that leadership was lonely. Hasn't been all that much for me. Because I work with my friends. The only way I can make that I found to be lonely, and if that's a qualification for leadership, then I need to work on it, is to pity myself. But I put out a dear staff letter, and I had a little poem. I never wrote a poem, one, and I made the mistake of publishing my staff letter. No, I did more. I made the mistake of sending the staff letter to my dad. Who's 85, he and Mom, she's 82, drove back here and visited us this fall. He confided that he got stopped for speeding on the way. But he wrote me a letter, and I wish I'd have brought that letter. He said, I read your dear staff letter. Self-pity we cannot condone. Few people realize your situation and less care. And in fact, brace up, get on with your job, and trust God. Well, that was pretty direct. Thanks, Dad. I needed that. Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Steadfast, unmovable. Hang in there. Stick with it. Brace up. Look it straight in the eye. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as you know, you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't that fantastic? That's fantastic. Take it home with you. Let's pray. Lord, we look up with hope. Our eyes are upon you as we leave, as seeing him who is invisible, ever looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, ever realizing that you have seen us through time after time and time and will yet again, and therein we abound in hope. And you have said, be strong and of a good courage. May that be true of us, the mental willingness to endure, to stick it out. And knowing, having made that decision, you're always right there beside us to help us. What an adventure. What a thrill. We love you, our God. We want to be more fully surrendered to you. And now as we leave one another, Lord, again, would you impress upon us the messages from you to each one of our individual hearts for these days. Thank you for the fantastic privilege of being able to come, to fly for the money, for the place, the time. You have blessed us greatly. And we realize that to whom much is given, from him shall much be required. And though that scares us a bit, we throw ourselves back upon you, that we are channels only. We're not reservoirs. We're not power plants. We acknowledge that. We're transmission lines. And that you've promised all the resources we need, so we make ourselves available as channels. Help us to relax and rest and act in that concept. And to always abound in your work. In Jesus' name, amen.